From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. President Obama says a strong recovery that creates jobs in the U.S. would be the most important contribution this country could make to a global economic rebound. The president, in a letter to leaders gathering in South Korea for the G20 Economic Summit, anticipating some of the criticism he's expecting to hear over the Federal Reserve's plan to bump $600 billion into the U.S. economy. That move likely to make the dollar weaker relative to other currencies, helping U.S. exports at the expense of exports from other countries. The president says he's hoping the summit will produce concrete results.
One of the key steps is putting in place additional tools to encourage balanced and sustainable growth.
Kuali Sai-Kow-Tao reports from Seoul. That may be a challenge.
Bill Rhodes, a former senior vice chairman of Citigroup, is attending the two-day meeting. He says G20 is about currencies, trade, and preventing another global economic crisis.
We want to avoid a series of protectionist measures. We want to avoid financial fragmentation where countries close their financial markets and affect world trade.
President Obama will also hold a bilateral with South Korea's president to discuss a long-stalled free trade agreement. For NPR News, I'm Dwahli Sai-Kow-Tao in Seoul.
The Commerce Department says the U.S. trade deficit has narrowed slightly, declining to $44 billion in September. But even given that improvement, the trade gap through the first 9 months of this year is 40% higher than it was a year ago. Medical relief groups are rushing to set up treatment centers in the capital of Haiti now that cases of cholera are being reported in the city. There's concern the disease could spread rapidly in Port-au-Prince, where hundreds of thousands of earthquake survivors are living in tent camps. The federal government is set to announce a major new anti-smoking campaign today. NPR's Richard Knox reports the effort stems in part from a law that was passed last year.
The 2009 law gives the Food and Drug Administration new power to regulate tobacco. So some of today's announcement is about how the FDA intends to use that power to discourage smoking. The sweeping new health care overhaul passed this year also contains anti-smoking provisions to help low-income pregnant women stop smoking, for instance. Anti-tobacco advocates say the new federal campaign is needed. States have been cutting back sharply in recent years on smoking education and cessation programs. More and more, they're using cigarette tax revenues and money from tobacco company legal settlements to plug budgetary shortfalls. Richard Knox, NPR News.
At least three people are dead in Baghdad after a coordinated series of roadside bomb attacks that targeted predominantly Iraqi Christian neighborhoods. More than 30 others were wounded. The Labor Department says first-time claims for unemployment benefits have fallen, down 5% last week, and the moving average of new claims has declined to a two-year low. This is NPR News from Washington. Five retired British military chiefs are warning that proposed cuts in defense spending by Britain's new government could prompt Argentina to invade the Falkland Islands, as it did in 1982, which led to a war between the two countries. But Larry Miller reports the government is dismissing the warning.
The former military commanders criticized planned defense cuts that leave Britain without its own aircraft carrier. It'll be more than a decade before the UK builds new carriers. Until then, it'll share one with the French, who may refuse to deploy it to the South Atlantic if Argentina attempts a Falklands invasion. Among those signing the open letter, the former head of the Royal Navy, Admiral Alan West.
If the islands were captured, we have absolutely no way whatsoever of recovering them unless we have got carrier air.
The government, though, says it has other ways of defending the Falklands and its British population of 3,000. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
Election officials in Alaska today start reviewing more than 92,000 write-in ballots in the state's U.S. Senate race. Incumbent Lisa Murkowski ran as a write-in candidate. GOP nominee Joe Miller is suing to keep the state from giving Murkowski credit for any votes except those that spell her name accurately and legibly. The winner of this year's Mark Twain Prize for American Humor, Tina Fey, says she owes part of her fame to a former governor of Alaska.
I would be a liar and an idiot if I didn't thank Sarah Palin for helping get me here tonight. My partial resemblance and her crazy voice are the two luckiest things that have ever happened to me.
The star of NBC's comedy 30 Rock, speaking at the Kennedy Center for Performing Arts in Washington, Fey quipped the Kennedy Center will soon be known as the Tea Party Bowling Alley and Rifle Range. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.